The new movie, The Imitation Game, is the story of Alan Turing, British mathematician, wartime codebreaker, seminal theoretician of computer science. It is a World War II drama, a psychological study, a thriller. In this scene, the war has begun, and the British are struggling with a German code called Enigma. The naval officer who is interviewing Turing, or trying to do that, is played by Charles Dance. Turing is played by Benedict Cumberbatch, whom you may recall as Khan in Star Trek and Sherlock on television. And as Alan Turing, he talks his way into a job cracking Enigma.
You need me a lot more than I need you. I like solving problems, Commander. And Enigma is the most difficult problem in the world.
No, Enigma isn't difficult, it's impossible. The Americans, the Russians, the French, the Germans, everyone thinks Enigma is unbreakable.
Good. Let me try, and we'll know for sure, won't we?
Benedict Cumberbatch, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
You play a man, Alan Turing, who was brilliant. He was openly gay when homosexuality was a crime in Britain, and he felt victim to that law. He's also often described as, and you know all these adjectives, eccentric, socially awkward, odd. What were the attributes that you picked up on as you tried to play him?
Well, I mean, I think what's extraordinary about Graham Moore's first feature script is how you, layer by layer, sort of uncover this man at the same parallel time as the team he eventually does play a part of and with, cracks the Enigma code. And I think, you know, to be fair to Alan, what's beautiful about Graham's script and his introduction to him, which you've just heard part of there, is that it's utterly uncompromising. There's no vanity. You're not asked to like the character. You're introduced to him, warts and all. And he is. He's difficult. He's very stubborn and arrogant. But there's a sort of naive guilelessness about the whole thing. He doesn't come in with an abrasive attitude. He just doesn't have the formal respect for authority that Dennis and Charles Dance's character is expecting from this newcomer applying for a job. And he is utterly brilliant, and he knows it, and he's been told it, and he doesn't mind talking about it. But it's not to show off. It's just, for him, it's a statement of fact.
The Imitation Game is a World War II movie. It's also a very contemporary political movie. But the political theme, it's not just defeating Nazis, it's about discrimination against gays, even to the point of destroying the life of a man who had significantly helped win the war against Germany. To what degree was that the attraction of this project?
I was very angered. I mean, it's disgusting to think that within less than 100 years this was going on, that men, hundreds, but thousands, in fact, of men were prosecuted and given the chance to choose simply between 2 years imprisonment or 2 years state-sanctioned chemical castration through weekly estrogen injections. And Alan chose the latter in order to be able to continue his work. And not only did the drug ravage his body and affect his physicality, but it also started to slowly impinge on his faculty, on his mind, his ability to do that work. So he was denied the one door he still had left open to him for love, for freedom, for expressing who he was. And I found it incredibly moving. And on top of that, somebody who had invented, basically was the father of computer science, somebody who was part of an effort that saved, some estimate, 14 million lives by breaking a code that brought about a 2-year early end to World War II, that man wasn't better known. I mean, why isn't he on banknotes with Darwin and Newton? Why isn't he on the front cover of history books as well as science books? And that really was a driving motivation for me to tell this story and bring his legacy to a wider audience.
I'd like to play a clip from the movie of one of, as one of your co-stars, which illustrates another challenge you faced in making this story dramatic and accessible. It's a machine. It's a machine.
It's more than a machine, though. I mean, that machine takes on such a personality. It's interesting listening to it. It sounds almost like a loom, doesn't it? A mechanical loom, which, a replica is still at Bletchley Park, which I advise any of your listeners who are lucky enough to be in that part of the world to go and see. It's the most extraordinary, chilling, amazing exhibit of all the work, and they have Enigma machines there and fantastic exhibits. But this machine is also there, and you can ask someone to give you a very patient explanation of it because it's quite complex. But basically, it was the machine that Alan adapted from a Polish machine to break the other machine, the Enigma machine, which was capable of 159 million, million, million possible variations every single day.
But, you know, one of the wonderful things about this movie coming out in the year 2014 is that rather than face an audience full of
people in the 1960s who would have to try to wrap their minds around the idea of this big clunky computer. And what does that do? Now you have audiences full of people who say, wow, that's primitive compared to my old Apple II that I had when I was a child.
Where's the screen, as one friend's child said. Where the hell's the screen? Yeah. That's not a proper computer. Now that I've spotted that, can I have an extra frozen yogurt? I thought that was break my heart when I heard that. But the same kid then went home and Googled, using probably an algorithm very similar in the search engines that were used by Turing, invented by Turing, to break the code in the Second World War. He used a Google search engine in order to look up and research more about Enigma. This is an 8-year-old. I mean, it's fantastic.
Your father is an actor, Timothy Carleton.
Yes.
Who I've read is actually Timothy Carleton Congdon Cumberbatch.
That's correct.
Your given name is Benedict Timothy Carleton Cumberbatch.
That's correct.
Right? Yeah. I assume that at some time you had a choice to act either as Benedict Carleton, as in your father, or as Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's right.
When and how did you make that decision?
I'll tell you. I mean, it was I started as Benedict Carleton. I think Carleton's a great name. It was my grandfather's first name, and I never got to meet him, so that alone was a good reason. And I wasn't getting anywhere with my first agent and with that name. And when I went to meet somebody else and a new agency, she said, "Why on earth don't you use your family name? It's the most fantastically extraordinary, unforgettable name."
It was your agent, is what you're telling me.
Well, sort of, yeah. It was Penny Wesson. She's ultimately responsible for all the sort of spin-offs of my name as well, I suppose, by proxy. But she rightfully said, "Look, it's pretty unforgettable once you get your head around it." And I said, "Yeah, but even I can't say it early on a Monday morning. It sounds like a fart in a bath. It's or bath, as I should mean." It's a sort of a whole lot of bubbles. But it seems to have worked out all right, doesn't it?
Yes. No, it's certainly the more memorable name. The amazing thing is it's the exact opposite of the historic, Hollywood story, of which I guess your father experienced at some level, which is your name, Cumberbatch. Okay, what are you going to use as a real name, as a stage name here? And it's the reverse now.
It is the reverse. It's strange. But then, I don't know, that seems to be... I seem to have reversed my way into this whole process anyway. I haven't really, obviously Sherlock was the first moment where I went, okay, well, this is definitely sort of stepping into the limelight, and I know he's an iconic character, so people will be paying attention, I guess. But, little did I know what would follow. None of us did.
So what would follow is you're not just an actor or a successful actor. You are a movie star. You're a famous person. Is that fun, or does that mean that It's fun.
It's got to be fun. Yeah. I think if you there are moments when, like all of us, you get a bit self-conscious and you'd rather not be living any of your day in public, those are the awkward times. But, you've got to have fun with it.
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch, thank you very much for talking with us about
my pleasure. Really my pleasure.
The Imitation Game and much else.
Thank you.